I used to teach middle school and junior high, and then I became a mother of children who worked their way to middle school and junior high, so I know firsthand how much kids are drawn to superlatives. Just about any kid can instantly name the fastest bird in the world, the peregrine falcon, and the biggest bird in the world, the ostrich. Kids are, of course, drawn to big and fast, but many of them also know what the tiniest bird in the world is, the bee hummingbird. But whether they're a kid or adult, most people I talk to don't realize the bee hummingbird is endemic to Cuba, meaning Cuba is the only place in the known universe where wild bee hummingbirds live. The tiny bee hummingbird is called the zunzuncito by Cubans. Its nest, the size of a thimble, has the smallest diameter of any bird nest, though it's similar in volume to the nest of the second smallest bird in the world, the vervain hummingbird of Jamaica and Hispaniola. Bergman's rule, which I learned about in high school biology, states that within a taxonomic group, populations and species of larger size are found in colder environments, while those of smaller size are found in warmer regions. The largest mammals of all are the whales, many of which do indeed live where the water is only a few degrees above freezing. But the largest birds of all, the ostriches, live in sub-Saharan Africa and the Horn of Africa, where temperatures can be exceedingly hot. And one of the tiniest hummingbirds in North America, the rufous hummingbird, is also the one that nests farthest north, all the way up in Alaska. It may brazenly violate Bergman's rule, but the even tinier bee hummingbird and vervain hummingbird are restricted year-round to an area of consistently warm temperatures in the Caribbean, as if trying to prove Bergman's rule correct. The bee hummingbird feeds on several flowers native to Cuba that share important common elements. They're odorless, since hummingbirds have a poorly developed sense of smell, are brightly colored, since hummingbirds have excellent vision, and have long, narrow, tubular corollas, perfectly sized for a tiny hummingbird's bill, while excluding most insects. This makes the flowers and hummingbird an excellent example of another concept I learned in high school, coevolution. The flowers depend on bee hummingbirds for pollination, and the hummers depend on the flowers for food. Bee hummingbirds consume up to half their body weight in food, nectar, and insects every day. When not feeding in these flowers, bee hummingbirds spend most of their time in mature forests with thick tangles of lianas and rich in epiphytes. Habitat loss due to development, agriculture, and recent hurricanes has taken a huge toll on bee hummingbirds, which are considered near threatened by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. That's why I saw bee hummingbirds on only two occasions during our Cuban visit, both at the same place, Casa Ana Birding near the Zapata Swamp in Matanzas Province. This extraordinary place is operated by birding guide Adrian Cobas, who maintains native plants as well as hummingbirds to lure gorgeous warblers and other species, as well as both of Cuba's hummingbird species. Casa Ana is an absolute must-go destination if you find yourself in Cuba. When I examined my bee hummingbird photos from this trip, I was astonished by the rainbow of colors the gorget feathers could show depending on the light's angle, including metallic bronze, greenish, magenta, and brilliant pink. These photos affirm two of my beliefs, that the joys and pleasures of any trip are extended by the photos we take, and that our human concept that bigger is better is patently ridiculous. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.